normally three, but on a Friday, it's time for Friday Night Rivals. So that means that Phil, Paul Metters, and Pat Hill tonight at La Monica, 7 o'clock pre, 7:30 kick, Frontier of Bakersfield in to play Clovis North. Baseball on 790. I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on. And Brian Panish with us today, and that means because of Brian's schedule, our sponsors, nice enough to let me wait a little bit with the readers. So the quick acknowledgement, the thank yous go out to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, and the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. I'll get to all of the specificities about those businesses, outstanding businesses, a little bit later on. Right now, bring up our great friend, the top dog himself, an outstanding bulldog back in the 70s, and a guy like me who was very relieved to see Fresno State get out of the rock with the win. I don't know if he was there in person or not, but I'll ask him right now. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Tony. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Brian. Did you make the flight to the islands, or did you
After Bosco beat down the number one team in Hawaii, St. Louis,
right.
I have a trial, so I had to stay. But I stayed up late that night, and I saw how everyone was against us. I love Coach Ensign, his post-game interview, saying, you know, everyone's against us. He kept wanting to say the refs, but he never said it. He didn't want to be fined. And it was amazing, but not, that how bad. You know, that was the same crew, Tony, I'm sure you've been talking about all week, that refereed the game last year in Fresno when Hawaii won. The sideline judges from Honolulu. Some of the calls against the Dogs were incredible. But, again, as we talked about last week, when you go to Hawaii, you expect the unexpected. And it's expected that you're going to get bad calls. And that's just that's why it's so difficult to win, and how it came down to 10 seconds left for the Bulldogs to stop the two-point play, and you still were holding your breath on the onside kick.
Well, you're right. We used to have, as you know, the running joke that at least the officials, when you go to the islands, are nice enough to not wear green. They stay in their own unis.
They submitted video to the conference last year of the referee, the sideline judge, from hugging Hawaii players.
Well, you know, the funny thing about last year in regard to Matt Entz, and I'm who knows how the season plays out, but if that pass interference call is not made late in the game and it was not a pass interference penalty worthy, who knows how the Bulldog season goes and whether Matt Entz is the head coach now. And for Matt, he has been able now to take this opportunity and do just what we thought he would do, which was win. And Brian, you and I have not talked about this. I've mentioned it on air, but people need to understand that it was between Matt and another individual, an individual who, when he was an assistant at Wyoming, actually recruited a guy named Josh Allen. But Matt Entz was a guy who did something you don't see very often. He went right by the agents and the lawyers and everybody, and he called Saul directly and said, I want this job. Let's get this done. And that attitude, Brian, is the same attitude I see with him right now, which is when he sees something, he takes it upon himself personally to somehow obtain it. And I thought what he did going into Hawaii as a first-time visitor there as a coach was exceptional. He never seems to lose his cool. It's really amazing.
Now, I saw him get a little frustrated with the refs a couple times.
He shook
his head. That's about as much as you'll get from him. He didn't yell, but he shook his head like, are you kidding me? But no, I mean, I think the team, you know, they're obviously mirroring what they're seeing from the head coach. He's portraying this calm demeanor, this whatever it takes, we're going to get it done. Pretty, not pretty, where our goal is to win the game and to come back again, second time this season. And many years in the past, the Bulldogs would have lost that game, you know, but they didn't. And they showed a lot of grit and a lot of passion and calmness to just do enough to win the game. But that's all. What do we say, Tony? Win and move on.
Yep.
Win and move on. That's it. And that's
win
what they
in
need
advance,
to do. And that's
in situations, yes. Well, that's what it is.
Right.
And you know from playing and coaching, it is all selective amnesia. There are certain things you need to remember to learn. That's why you hear coaches, as you're well aware, say after a loss or even a win, but particularly loss, that 24-hour period where they say learn from it and flush it, whether you won or lost, you've got to move forward. And for Fresno State, as we've talked, Brian, the way this conference is structured right now, the Bulldogs have some challenges on the road. They figure to be really tough to beat at home, but you don't know when any singular loss at the end of the year in a flat-footed tie can cost you a bid for the championship game. These aren't divisional games anymore. Everybody's thrown in a scramble, and the top two come out, and you and I both know it's going to be a messy tiebreaker at the end for that second slot. You've got to win. And a loss in Hawaii, had that gotten away late, Brian, that would have been catastrophic. If they get that 2-point
conversion, well, you know, mostly every time we've lost Hawaii. You know, Tone, if you look at the times that the Bulldogs have lost Hawaii, I mean, it screwed up some really good seasons.
Oh, there's no. Yeah, ask Cam the next time you bump into him. He will tell you.
No, but I mean, you know, they've done it historically. They've been spoilers on big seasons for the Bulldogs. And to get through that, whatever it took, is a big deal, in my opinion. And I think the confidence level of the team, now it's two times they've had to come back to win a game. They know they can do it. They couldn't really run the ball, but they found a way to get it done. The defense stepped up, you know, stopped them until the final drive of the game and made the plays when they had to. And I think that's just got to make the confidence grow. The schedule, in my opinion, couldn't set up better with this bye week after traveling to Hawaii than two games, which, you know, Nevada obviously is not going to be as hard, but it's still going to be. They're going to have to put up the effort to win. Colorado State is going to be a tough road game. We know that. That'll be the first or the second of these, you know, tough road games. But that's, they've already played one. It's not going to be much tougher than it is playing in Hawaii.
Well, what you brought up, you mentioned the other day when we were talking that with it being a high school stadium, essentially, and the Islands having, first of all, a good start with the Rainbow Warriors, and it's Fresno State, and it's a built-in rivalry, that it was going to be raucous, and it was raucous there. They were hanging over the railings there. It was not an easy place to play. I've seen Hawaii play some games there where they haven't had much of a house. They had the full house there, and it was a very difficult environment. Some might argue tougher than Aloha Stadium half-filled, if you know what I mean.
Oh, well, they come out, Tony, that is a legit rivalry, and you saw it more in the Hawaii papers. The advertiser wrote many stories this last week about the real, and you didn't really see it as much in Fresno, but it's a very intense rivalry between Fresno State and Hawaii, and kind of could be the last time, at least for a while, that they play. I mean, the whole Islands and Hawaii, that's how they were looking at this game.
Well,
to get their last shot at the rival, and they laid it all out there.
After Elihada, they held him down for almost all night. They didn't let his legs beat him, and across the middle, like I said, they really used a very aggressive defense. Thunderbird was terrific, obviously. Hamilton in the secondary. And Elihada, until the last drive, struggled. But when they got the touchdown, Brian, did you have that sinking feeling if it went OT, or did you say no matter what, the Bulldogs were still, in your opinion, going to win that thing? I know.
I wasn't really thinking of it like that. I was thinking about stopping the two-point play.
Well, of course.
What play were they going to run? And that I thought we had a chance because, look, they got a lot of help in that drive. And they hadn't really moved the ball the whole game, and they got a lot, you know, two huge penalties to extend the drive. And I felt confident we had a chance to stop the 2-point. And I thought we started showing our best offense in the end of the fourth quarter. So it seemed like the Bulldogs were starting to move the ball better. They were getting a little more confident on offense. But, you know, I was certainly worried, because I've seen him, Tony. You know, that's just embedded in your memory, some of those past games in Hawaii. And I don't want to mention any names, but we all know what we're talking about.
Well, that's right. By the way, here's a sidebar for you. ServPro is a national sponsor for ESPN. Right before we're coming up to do this show, Freddie Coleman does Sports Beat. Freddie and Harry doing the show, of course, with Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman, been doing it for years for ESPN. And the sponsorship for ServPro is about college football memories. And what memory do they bring up today? The Bulldogs losing a 31-point lead at Air Force is losing in overtime. And I thought, wow, at Fresno State, lost in Hawaii, that would have been a very painful intro to this show today, Brian. Instead, I can shrug like you can and say, that was a long time ago. So, you know what? Just win, baby. That's what happened. That's all that counts. But I
know, and I think that's kind of like Ince. That's how Ince thinks, man. Let's just get it done. The goal is to win the game, whatever it takes, all phases of the game, whatever one we need to beat them in, we're going to do it. And we're just going to keep plugging along. And we're going to beat you in the end of the day. And so far it's worked. And I feel good about the rest of the year. Obviously, these road games, as you say, in the Mountain West, there's going to be some tough road games they're going to have to win. But I think the team is getting better every week, which is a good sign.
Well, it's not only a road trip to Fort Collins, where admittedly Colorado State has not been off to a Usain Bolt-like start to this season, but it is also a short week. It's a Friday game after the Saturday game next week against Nevada at home. It is a 5 o'clock start our time, I believe, on the Friday after. So it's a short week for the Bulldogs traveling. But we've said it, Brian, defense travels, the running game travels. The defense continues to play well. Benedetto doing a great job with his D. We knew he would. But I'm going to ask about the running game again. You and I have talked about this. You knew everybody else going in, given Matt's history, knew Fresno State wanted to run the football and they were going to load the box. Are you satisfied with the progress of Warner right now? Because he throws a good football. He really does. You can tell that his dad spent a lot of time on mechanics with him. But he still needs to avoid that one outlier, that one play that can kill you. Are you satisfied the way he's moving forward? Because you know they're going to dare him to beat the Bulldogs or beat the defense the Bulldogs face through the air. You know it. They're not going to let the Bulldogs trample them if they can help it, any team they play.
I think that Warner made progress in this last game, but I still think he's got a little ways to go. But he did show progress. He has shown the ability in the end of the half and in the game to lead the team when they need it, shown good leadership qualities in that. But again, you know, ball security is key, and we saw what happened to the Bulldogs, at least in the first half, with the ball security. When there was a problem, it cost them big time.
You're feeling about, and I've said this, that the Bulldogs are going to get there in the top two in this conference at the end of the year. Is it way too early for you to say that?
I'd say it's way too early. I mean, but I like what I see. I mean, no, realistically, if you looked at the schedule and you would say the Bulldogs are probably going to lose to Kansas. The rest of the games, you could realistically say the Bulldogs, if they play their best, as we always say, they should be able to win. And they did. So we're kind of where we thought they were going to be, and how are they going to progress the rest of the season is still yet to be determined. But it sets up nicely for them.
And it tells you the fine line between winning and losing, right? You play a quality game in Hawaii. You have some things go against you, including a lateral that was not a lateral and a lot of other things and tough penalties. And it came down to where you were one play away potentially for being an OT and leaving with a very disappointing evening in the wrong column. Didn't turn out that way. You win, and it is. Like, win in advance, but that's basically it. That tells me, Brian, that this team is ready to win every week as long as they stay healthy. And the offensive line took a hit with Walton. I'm worried about that O-line. I know there's some depth there. Where is your main worry? Are you more worried about the field goal kicking? Where are you at? If I were to ask
you, worry. The field goal. First of all, what is the – I don't know the injury update on the tackle. I mean, is he going to be able to come back in a few weeks, or is that season ending?
Well, it looks right now as though it's a good thing they have depth on the line. Let's put it that way. Okay, so.
Okay, you know, so the injury is severe enough he's not going to come back right away. Yeah, if he comes back, it's not going to be for a while.
But
I think my biggest worry would be the offensive line, you know, both being able to run and protecting the quarterback.
Okay, what about Dylan Lynch? Where are you at with this? I mean, this is a guy who
he's a kicker. That's what I would say about him.
Okay.
He's a kicker. Well, look, they got this unique mindset, and that you never know. You never can 100% rely on a kicker, but I think he's pretty reliable. I'm glad maybe he got that out of his system. We don't have, that I know of, a better option. They think he's the better option, so he's got to get his confidence level up, and hopefully he'll do better. He has done well. He's had some games that just happen to be in the last, six games. He's had two bad games.
Well, he seems to kick better from distance. I brought up, he's kind of like the golfer, the guy that can really, really drive it well, but his short game needs work. It seems like the leg swing is more natural from 50, and I know he missed the one, but actually he made it, and that's the crazy part when they called the timeout, and both Kanoa Leahy and Rich Miano doing the telecast for Hawaii's, you know, they thought it was a strategy ice the kicker. You don't ice the kicker in the first half, first of all. And what was happening is, you know, Chang was just trying to challenge the previous play and coincidentally happened to ice the kicker who made the kick. That was just a lucky break for Hawaii. He's got
to
be better.
Were you able to watch did you watch the Hawaii broadcast?
Yes, I did. I did watch the entire thing on DirecTV.
The one thing, and I know, you know, Cano well, and I've met Miano. I don't know him as well. But what's amazing to me is that Miano, he must be best friends with J.D. Williams, because I've never heard J.D. Williams get more coverage in a game ever. I mean, he was relentless with praise, all deserved by J.D., unsung hero and great Bulldog. But, boy, right. I've never heard an assistant coach get so much praise as Rich was giving to J.D. during the game. It was amazing.
It was. And the other thing was, and look, I'm not going to take Miato to task for this, because maybe being out on the islands all those years, he isn't following everything closely. But if one Italian guy calls another Italian guy a name that is an incorrect pronunciation, I get a little angry. And how many times Benedetto was Benedito? And I'm thinking, come on, Rich, for goodness sake, man. So, you know, I let it go the first couple of times. Then I started getting irritated. But they are two really nice guys. And by the way, Kanoa Leahy's dad, the late, great Jim Leahy, was a great friend of ours. And as you know, one of the true Hawaii legends. I mean, you know this from being around the islands. Jim Leahy cast a very large shadow, and I admire Kanoa from going into the business in the islands when you're Jim Leahy's kid. Boy, that standard was very high, Brian, you know?
Hey, and you know what he said, Tony? It's a bad break for the rainbow.
That's right. We had many between he and Ferd Lewis being the Madeira guy doing the column work all those years. It was tough sledding, and then naturally, Kakaula was an entertainment entity in and of himself. May he rest in peace. All right, a couple of things here. One, I wanted to ask you about any inside information, but any thought about Thomas no longer being on the team. I mean, it appears to be two things. One, his dad liked to get in his ear about playing time, and two, maybe he felt as though in this day and age it's better to move on again, and became a pain in the rear end anyway. What's your feeling here?
Well, I think it's kind of like, hence I think how he treated the quarterback that left. You know, it's unfortunate they want to leave, but if they want to leave, they should leave. I don't think that he's going to bend his rules for whatever. Obviously, my understanding was the kid had played more snaps this year than last year, so he actually had more playing time. But, you know, if the player's not happy, you can't bend the rules for one player. And I think that's what ends when he's coaching a team. Maybe he's disappointed and unfortunate the kid left. He's probably a very nice kid. He was obviously a good player. He played a lot. But if he wants to leave, you know, so they got to be the next guy up. Not much you can do about it.
And if you've got somebody in front of you, Brian, is just playing better than you are, even if you're a quality player, you're going to, as you know, you have to take your PT when you get it. You can't look at it and say, well, I should be playing, if the guy who is playing in front of you, simply put, is more efficient and more productive, which begs the question.
And he made a huge play in the last game.
Well,
was instrumental in the win.
That's correct. I did want to ask you this, because I know when Hamilton was racing down the sideline, it reminded me of you and your prime.
But it looked more like JD, the other number 31.
but you had to be impressed by Thunderbird speed, right? I mean, come on. This is a big man out there, and he really put the jets on.
No, he, a lot of those players, and I think we talked about this, Tony. It was time. I think I used the word. It was time to shine for the defensive backs, the secondary, because of all the hype they were receiving, and now was the time for them to shine, and they did. So that to me was a really good sign. The time they needed to step up, the DBs and the coverage. What I really liked was, the guys were catching the passes, but they were tackling them right where they caught the ball, and they were hitting them hard. But, they were making them pay for it, and they were just keeping everything, as we talked about, in front of them. I think they had a good game plan and was executed excellent. And the secondary, when they needed to step up, they did.
Thunderbird liked Luke coming over, coming from, quote-unquote, big schools back to this level, although it's very similar next year will be. Foreman has tried to transition. So far, it's been hit and miss. But guys like Thunderbird, are you surprised at all, or did you see this coming like you did with Luke as well, just a matter of getting him out on the field?
Well, I mean, I didn't really know a ton about him before, but there's guys that are going to do it. There's reasons why guys are in the portal. There may actually legitimately be a much better player, this player or two, that are in front of them, and they just can't crack the lineup. And they have a good attitude and everything. It's just not working out for them. Now, maybe I don't know how that ranks of the reasons versus they're upset about playing time or they got issues, because there's obviously a reason that somebody's leaving one place to go to another. And many times the reason is not a good reason. But I think some guys that just, there's better players in front of them and they weren't a good fit in the defense or the scheme. And they move on, and they have a good attitude, and they do well. And I'm not surprised that some of them, that's why this portal is so critical.
That's why, as much as I...
Fresno State really reloaded, Tony. They really had to reload. I mean, they had a few key players there, but they had to reload a lot on the defense.
Well, Brian, the reality, too, I was very much against the transfer portal, particularly when they decided to say you could move every year. I thought the portal and a one-year exemption to move without sitting out was fair. But even when they went to going every year, if they just could have kept NIL out of it, I think the transfer portal might have worked better than I thought. With NIL, that combination we've talked about is deadly. It's on the precipice of destroying what we know and love about college sport, and they're going to have to do something about it. And you and I have talked about that enough. It's going to have to be codified legislatively. We know, and we've discussed the political hot potato it is. That having been said, I did want to ask you two things that came in through the emails from Manny. One is about the comment we talked about a few weeks ago about Speedy Luke. If he has a huge season, Brian, is he like a $500,000 a year guy somewhere? Can Fresno State hold on to him realistically, or do they have to hope that even if he has a great year, that his loyalty kicks in? I mean, how do you view this as dispassionately as you can with a kid who came from St. John Bosco, for goodness sake?
Well, you know what, Tony? Before this call, I was having lunch with Jason Negro.
Okay.
And
yeah.
One of the subjects that came up was that exact subject. And when he chose to go to Fresno State, I mean, there were many other opportunities for him, and there are certain personal reasons why he stayed at Arizona.
Right.
But I think he viewed it, so from his perspective, I have no idea what he would do, but I do know that he likes it. That Fresno State is giving him an opportunity to showcase his not only ability to run, but catch the football. If he's going to have an extended career in football, he's got his best opportunity there. So obviously the money, somebody's going to come and offer money. There's no doubt about it. And I think Entz is building a culture that hopefully some of these players stay and they're all bought in and he gets a little more NIL for them and they stay and continue to build the program. But, that's a big risk. But can't really worry about it. Got to hope that he continues to play. He's got a lot more games left. Well, I think what helps Speedy is the other backs. I mean, I think the combination of all the backs at Fresno State kind of takes the pounding off of one guy. We saw it last year with the running back that, you know, got dinged up a little bit with a lot of carries, but now they're able to spread it around, and I think that's a big plus for the offense, especially with Matt Entz's team that wants to run the ball.
And that does beg the final question that came in Manny's Part A, Part B. Do you have concerns about the running game, which has not been as consistent as everybody'd like, or are you viewing it as the defense is making this priority number one, so you have to take the gaps that are offered to other parts of your offense to be able to exploit, like the short passing game, et cetera? I mean, I guess what I'm asking, in conference, Brian, and we brought this up, can you impose your will even if the other team is doing everything they can to stop you from running, or do you have to be more pragmatic about it?
I would say that they could not impose their will on Hawaii. And I think it's going to be the same thing with – can you hear me, Tony?
Yeah, I can, right here.
And I don't think that they're going to be imposed their will on Boise. On the other teams, they might be able to. So they're going to have other alternatives, like the short passing game to the running backs, that swing pass, which, of course, didn't turn out the way they wanted it to, things like that. I think that was the right scheme. They just weren't able to execute that play, and they, you know – arguably a bad call. I'm still on the fence on that, Tony. I've seen 20 films. I'm still on the fence on it, on the call.
Well, I'll tell you from a schematic standpoint, Brian's let you go, and I always appreciate the time. We'll talk next week, of course. The reality is you've got a guy like Bryson Donaldson who's really good out of the backfield. Luke has proven that he can not only catch it out of the backfield in the flat, but he can go over the middle and make plays. The guys are there, not just in the wide receiver and tight end position, but from the backfield that can make a team that loads the box really pay the price. It's a matter of can you execute and not make that critical mistake. And as long as Warner is able to do that, I think Fresno State's going to be in great shape. Again, it can't be the five great plays and then the wrong decision on play number six, because that erases everything. He's getting better. The team is getting better. And, you know, again, you're right, Brian. Start of the year, if you would have said 4-1, you would have said, you know what, that's probably what chalk tells me right now if they could get the one in Hawaii. And they got it, and that's all that counts. And good riddance to the islands for a while, right?
No, exactly. So I think, you know, there's a long way to go, but right now they're in a good spot. It's great to have the bye. Hopefully they're using it efficiently. I'm sure Entz is. They get back to a big week next week, and then a short week the next week, and then another bye.
Yeah.
So this is another time that they're going to have to step it up, get through this two little. It's like a little module. Each little module of the season is kind of broken up for them, allow them to refocus. I think it's great.
And that other mod has San Diego State and Boise State waiting, and what the Aztecs did to Cal says that maybe San Diego State is not as bad as we thought, or Cal was not as competitive as they had been the week before. But whatever the case, anytime it's at the stadium, Valley Children's, Bulldog Stadium, whatever you want to call it, I have a good feeling about it. On the road, we all know what college football is like on the road, that's for sure. Hey, Brian, I appreciate it. Listen, I'm glad you were able to watch the game. I thought, you know, that all things considered, Spectrum Sportsnet, which, of course, is also part of the Laker and Dodger networks down there, which I watch all the time to pull against.
I couldn't get it on that. I had to go through my Hawaiian cable.
Well, there you go. Hey, whatever.
My local cable in Hawaii, it worked.
Well, however you watched it, it worked out. Brian, I appreciate it. Have a great week. Talk to you next week. Paisan, take care.
All right, take care. God bless, Tone.
All right. Our great friend Brian Panish, appreciate the time as always. And speaking of appreciating people, appreciate the sponsors for waiting a little bit as we do on a Friday so Brian can get back to work in lawyer land down in SoCal. So I want to spend a moment now to acknowledge those sponsors. Let's start with our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Been with us for a good long time. You can see if you look closely, you don't even have to look that close. You will see an avocado green and blue truck near you a lot of the time. That is our great friends at Lee's. They've been in the Central Valley in NorCal since 1981 and sponsors here at the station for a good long while. They sponsor the shows and also sponsor the LeesAir.com hotline. That's how Brian came up on the show, the same way our guests, Phil's guests, Paul's guests, and callers in the general public on Phil's show. 559-320-1430. That is the Lee's Air hotline. Again, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, LeesAir.com. You'll find info there and the work number, if you will, 825-5337, 825-Lees. Anything you need in those categories. They allow me the time every day to bring you the weather, and it looks like this, which is pretty damn pleasant for the first full weekend of fall, as some people got a lot of rain. I do mean a lot of rain the other day. And then others of us, for instance, those of us who are in the northwest part of town, we did not get a whole bunch. But I know some got a big-time soaking, and we may see more rain on Tuesday. Not going to see it over the weekend. Supposed to be 88 today, a low of 69, 92 tomorrow and sunny, 86 Sunday, 81 Monday, and the clouds are supposed to come back in Monday. And then there's a chance of scattered showers across the valley on Tuesday and a high of 79. I think coastal areas and up in the mountains, there are still some issues. And then 82, 83, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. So except for the precip chance on Tuesday, pretty calm week coming up. And, of course, the Bulldogs will be home next weekend against Nevada, and we'll get that forecast for you as we move through the start of next week. Anyway, thanks to everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, Lee's, and the Lee's Air hotline to give Phil a call, 559-320-1430. The other reminders, one from our good friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Again, booster at Fresno State now for over three decades, celebrating the 25th anniversary of his outstanding business here in town. And Joe has been a great booster for Fresno State Athletics and also a tremendous basketball in addition to football fan. And I've enjoyed conversing with Joe over the years about the fate of the Fresno State basketball team, which is something, of course, that we're going to be talking about at length. And I do want to mention here again, on October 13th, you have got the tip-off dinner coming. But first, about Joe's business. Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town, Suite 103. You can give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Or more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sps@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, it's all there under one roof, family-friendly business. If you're someone who's working from an industrial standpoint around a valve, any kind of application of the valve, you might be at a plant, might be a maintenance worker, it could be a tanker delivery person, you might be working around a boiler, have a boiler service, anything that you're using for your business. If a valve goes down, your business can come crashing down in a big hurry. Just found out the hard way about valves around the house in regard to water, that it's going to cost a whole bunch of money for valves that need to be replaced all over the homestead here. Joe, from an industrial standpoint, has that same kind of protection for you when it comes to your business. And because of it, if you're at a dairy, if you're somewhere like that, where a valve goes down, it can make a mess of things for you, and your bottom line is affected. Joe has the great components. He also has the ability to get to you on a first-day basis, give you an estimate, and take care of things in a big hurry so you don't suffer that catastrophic loss. If you stop in, tell him your problems, he'll analyze them, and he and Gabe will fix them for you. And then if you have time, Joe will tell you what he does for Fresno State donation-wise and ask you to do the same. And we've mentioned this many times before. You have the main website at GoBulldogs.com that you can head to, and there you will find the links to other particular donation sites. For instance, BulldogFoundation.org is there. And underneath that, you also have the Green V Society, in the Myers Champion Circle. Under Ways to Give, you have the sports clubs and you have the Valley Co-op. And under the sports clubs, you have the individual teams where you can give your money directly to a team through support, for instance, Quarterback Club for football, Timeout Club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig on the board of directors of the Timeout Club for men's basketball. Love to see more members. Jack is with us every week to talk basketball. He said, call him directly on his cell if you'd like, 559-287-3305 for more info, or hit him up on his email, FurtigJack@AOL.com. There's a link there for the Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports as well under Ways to Give. So check all of that out, and always keep in mind the critically important NIL collective for Fresno State. And all of that put together is what we hope will keep Fresno State competitive as we head to a much more competitive setting next year. It's not as though the Mountain West has been a walk in the park for Fresno State. It's been a lot of tough competition, but taking the cream of the crop from the conference and then adding Washington State and Oregon State, and we already see Gonzaga coming in basketball, Dallas Baptist, it's a very good baseball program coming in, and we know that at some point in the relative near future, we will see football go beyond eight teams. So it's really important to get involved, and we thank Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, not only for what he does for Fresno State, but for allowing us the time to tell you how to get involved in donation to Fresno State. All right, the other reminders here. One, our great friends at KFC. Again, we're talking about the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They do so much to benefit athletics throughout the valley. It's really a feather in the cap of everybody to have KFC, this international and national entity, be so involved locally with the local operators. And if you stop by in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, or Kerman, tell them thanks. And also tell them you'd like some of the hot and spicy wings and potato wedges that are available right now for just a limited time. One of the ultimate fan favorites being brought back for this limited opportunity. Stop by, pick them up. Also, the KFC chicken sandwich remains bigger and better than ever. Everybody else is cutting down on the size and upping the price. They are not doing it that way at KFC. It's still big and great, and right now only $3.99 for the chicken sandwich for a limited time. Also, on Tuesdays, you still have the $10 eight-piece bucket. On Wednesdays, you have got the $5.99 deal, which is their country fried steak. So stop by the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up the food, enjoy it, and tell them thanks for supporting everything in the valley. And finally, speaking of supporting things in the valley, our friend Ed Dunkel has been able to do that with his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. Give them a call at 449-4500 or go to the web at precisioneng.net. They have worked very hard, Ed and company have, to benefit the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. Ed, a proud graduate there. A lot of those grads come to work for him at Precision Civil Engineering. They do so much across the valley. The work of Precision is all over the place. And what they do with their fundraising, they unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's really a terrific business, and we appreciate Ed's sponsorship very much. And also, Ed allows me the time to tell you about the upcoming sports schedule, so we'll do that right now. Tonight, high school football, Friday night rivals. It will be a really good matchup between Clovis North and Frontier of Bakersfield. Phil will be there, Paul and Pat Hill, because the Bulldogs, of course, have the bye week. Be at La Monica Stadium tonight, the pregame at 7 o'clock and the kick at 7:30. The A's are over on 790. The A's and the Giants both finishing up their seasons. But for us, it's still going to be baseball. As a matter of fact, wall-to-wall baseball beginning next week, and it will impact our schedules because the wild card round, which now involves, I think people know, the last several years, four different wild card best two of threes. Those will take up both 790 and 1430 airtime on Tuesday and Wednesday and possibly Thursday as well. And I'm off for a procedure on Wednesday. So if there is a Tuesday availability, I'll be with you on Monday for sure with Paul. if we do have availability Tuesday, I'll be with you. But no matter what happens baseball-wise, Wednesday and Thursday I will be off and then back with Brian on Friday. We'll see if we have shows or not for Phil and everybody else with in time with the network guys in regard to what baseball brings us, because all the games come through ESPN Radio. So stay tuned for that. There's still obviously a lot of jockeying going on. I'm sure Phil will talk about it in the American League and National League with seedings and all that kind of stuff. And I had a question I'll try to get to about it a little bit later on. But as far as the rest of the weekend, we already started week four of the NFL last night with that very close game with the Seahawks winning the last second. The Cardinals have lost two games in a row by field goals against them at the gun. 49ers host the Jags. It looks like Purdy will play. And you've got the Rams and the Colts. That'll be a really good matchup down at SoFi. And also we have got Sunday night and then Monday night as well. We have Raiders that we can get covered. I think there's a conflict with the Raiders and Rams this broadcast weekend. But most of the time we get all three. Then Monday we've got Major Wager Money. It's a doubleheader, by the way, of games on ABC and ESPN. And we have Westwood One's broadcast on Monday. Stop by Major Wager Monday, all the festivities, Carter and the gang out at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park. A great time, great food, great atmosphere of the game itself. Stop by, check out the prizes and everything else going on there with Major Wager Monday. Always a lot of fun. The other reminders, Phil normally with you 3 to 6 with an outstanding show behind the bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California, and the great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park, and you can always call Phil on the Lease Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Paul Metter is with you with two really good shows. Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics, Wednesdays from 6 to 7 on our sister station, the Deuce 790, and then his long-running show on 1430 on Saturday morning from First Ring Sports. That is Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430, ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcasts there. Get the app. It makes it a lot better. And one more reminder here about everything going forward. The Lakers are getting ready to start. We'll have them all the way through. We have the NBA playoffs through ESPN Radio all the way through the finals, whether the Lakers are involved or not. We've got the Super Bowl, whether it's the 49ers or the Rams or the Raiders, everything through Westwood One all the way through the Super Bowl, World Series, and all the coverage leading up, all playoff games on ESPN Radio. We've got all the high schools for you, from football through basketball and baseball. We have got everything that we can possibly offer regionally through ESPN, so it's as much as we can possibly fit in with 1430 and 790. All that having been said, let's take a break. I'll come back, give you the final wrap-up, and send it off to Phil, and then it'll be time for football on 1430 and baseball on 790. Take a break. The Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Hi, buddy. Welcome back. About 2 minutes or so to go on the show, then off to Phil, his fine show behind the bench for 2 hours, then time for a really good high school matchup. Phil, Paul Metters, Pat Hill out at La Monica tonight, Friday night. Lights, Frontier Bakersfield in Clovis North. Pre at 7, kick at 7:30, and then, of course, we mentioned just before the break, all the NFL action over the weekend, culminating with Major Wager Monday on Monday, and we'll be back with you to talk about the weekend that was, even without Fresno State football, on Monday, and then we'll see what the preempts might be in regard to the local shows because of the playoffs starting next week in Major League Baseball, exclusively through ESPN Radio. And by the way, the Cubs have wrapped up that 4 seed now, and that's important because it means that when they and the Padres play that best 2 of 3, you no longer, I think people know this, you no longer go home and road in the wild card round. The higher seed gets all the games, so it means it'll be essentially a best 2 of 3 at Wrigley. So the Cubs have that advantage. We'll see what the very high-priced Padres can do about it. The Dodgers are already locked into the 3 seed. They will have to play the wild card round, but they will also host, and they will host that 6 seed, which may be the Mets. It might be the Reds. There's a very outside chance it's the Diamondbacks, and that would be something because the D-backs are only 1 game over .500 right now. It would take a miraculous weekend for things to fall their way, but can you imagine if the D-backs, who went on that crazy run and actually won the league a couple of years ago, if they were to get in the playoffs barely above .500 and somehow bump into, say, the Brewers in the second round, and the Brewers are 30-some games above .500, there's got to be justice. It's not there if that's the case. But then again, ask the Seattle Mariners, who won 116 games and were out in the first round of the playoffs. So we know Billy Bean told us a long time ago, and he was the GM of the A's, the job of your general manager is just to get you to the playoffs. Once you get there, anything can happen. And that was said before we had multiple wild cards. So it's going to be a crazy scramble next week, and also still a lot to come this weekend, including Aaron Judge and the Yankees trying to pull in the divisional championship. And the reason the divisional championship is so important in the AL East is it's going to be, at worst, the 2 seed, which means you're going to get the bye. 3 seed divisional champion plays in the wild card round, but if you can be in seeds 1 and 2, in those slots, either one, you don't have to play until the best 3 of 5. That'll go on over the weekend, and then all of that will impact what happens with us next week. Anyway, listen, thanks to everybody again, to Brian Panish, to Jorge for his great job. Phil is coming up. One final acknowledgement with the sponsors. Thanks again for allowing me to maneuver things a little bit. Always appreciate it. So thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And they bring you, of course, the Lee's Air Hotline. You can give Phil a call right after the break at 559-320-1430. I'll see you with Paul on Monday, and we'll see what the schedule brings us next week. And with my situation, I'll definitely be away on Wednesday and Thursday. We'll see how it works out. Have a great one. This is KFIG Fresno.